21. Ah, Harar said. Success at last.
Looks like it, Corrin said. So long as somebody doesn't already call it home.
They were facing up a long, rocky ridge that showed a number of pronounced overhangs. Corrin tried to hide his disappointment. Their search had carried them less than a kilometer from the downed ship, during which time he'd seen no signs whatsoever of civilization. Of course, it was hard to search thoroughly when you refused to take your eyes off your search partner. It was a very long way from trusting Harar, or any of the Yuuzhan Vong for that matter, but especially a priest. A priestess of the Deception Sect had very nearly succeeded in wiping out a good portion of the Jedi. He started up the slope, keenly aware of the man beside him, fighting reflexes that told him to draw his lightsaber now.
Is your home like this? Harar asked.
My home?
Your planet of origin.
Oh, not really. I mean, it's got forests and fields, but for the most part, it's pretty civilized.
He frowned.
It is covered in cities? Harar asked.
If you're thinking about Coruscant when you say that, no.
Harar made a peculiar face. For us, he said, the world you called Coruscant represented the ultimate abomination, a world entirely covered in machines. It is because it represented everything we despise that we chose it for our capital, to remake it in the image of our lost homeworld.
Yes, I'm aware of that, Corrin said curtly. If you have a point to make, make it.
Harar's eyes seemed to harden a bit.
I am searching for a point, I think, he said. I have had little opportunity to speak with infidels when they weren't being sacrificed or tortured.
You're not scoring big with me right now, Harar, Corrin pointed out.
He let his hand drift toward his lightsaber. Harar cocked his head, and a grim smile played across his scarred features.
Do not think I fear you, Jedi.
I do not doubt that you, the slayer of Shaddao Shai, could best me in combat. But you would remember the fight.
Is that what you want? Corrin asked. To fight me?
Of course not.
Fine, then we won't.
They had reached the rock shelter now. It looked good, dry, protected. No caves leading off to the lair of who knew what.
But I would like to ask you something, the priest said, settling cross-legged upon a stone.
Ask then,
Corrin said.
I mentioned Shaddao Shai. When you dueled him, you risked your life for the planet Ithor, correct? Those were the only stakes?
Yes, Corrin said. The Yuuzhan Vong were going to poison the planet. Shaddao Shai agreed that if I won the duel, it wouldn't happen. If he won, he got the bones of his ancestor back.
And yet, from what I have been able to determine, Ithor had no real strategic value, no valuable minerals for your machines. So why did you do it?
Corrin frowned, wondering where Harar could possibly be going with this.
Three reasons, he said. The first was that I couldn't stand aside and let Ithor be destroyed if there was something I could do about it. And there was. Shai had a vendetta against me. I was the only one around who could tempt him with such a duel with such stakes. The second reason was that I had something of a vendetta against him as well. He murdered my friend Allegos when he tried to make peace with your people.
That last I can understand, Harar said. Revenge is desirable.
Not for a Jedi, Corrin said. It was foolish and dangerous of me to fight Shai with those feelings in my heart. If I had been fighting primarily for revenge rather than for Ithor, it would have been wrong.
I have heard it said that Jedi avoid the strong emotions. I have never understood it. Perhaps another time you can explain it to me.
I can try.
Good, but for present, I don't want to lose the scent of this hunt. I still don't understand your motives, and not just yours. Many of your people died defending Ithor. You fought for it from the start. Were you protecting the secret of the pollen that destroyed our troops? Surely you could have replicated it elsewhere.
We were never actually able to replicate it, Corrin said. But no, we fought for Ithor because it was one of the most beautiful planets in the galaxy, and because the Ithorians are a peaceful people who never harmed anyone. He crossed his arms. And because it was one of our planets.
And yet you personally suffered disgrace for defending it.
Corrin stiffened.
You know a lot about me, he said.
It is a famous story, Harar said. Shimra was delighted at your treatment. It was then that he began to understand that the best way to destroy the Jedi was merely to turn your own people against you. Something that was remarkably easy to do.
Yes, wasn't it? Corin said. All Savong Law had to do was promise not to wipe out any more entire planets if we were handed to him for sacrifice. Some people were frightened enough to do it.
There must be more to it than that, Harar said. Perhaps some are jealous of you and resent your powers. Perhaps because some Jedi may abuse that power?
Tricky, Corin thought. He's trying to pump me for information on our weaknesses. Think what you want. The reason for my disgrace after Ithor was because a lot of people hadn't quite figured you guys out. They didn't realize that you weren't planning to stop until every last one of us was dead or enslaved. They couldn't imagine why anyone would poison an entire planet, a planet that, as you say, had no military or commercial value, just because they could. They thought it must have been because the Jedi put up a fight and angered you. A lot of people figured that Ithor was destroyed because I killed Shai rather than in spite of it.
He realized suddenly that his voice had been rising and that he had just delivered a genuine diatribe. He hadn't realized how much bitterness lingered in him. But this was the first time he had really discussed the matter with one of them. Here is my dilemma, Harar said. I do not understand how a people who placed such value on Ithor could also hold dear the abomination that was Coruscant.
Corin snorted. And I don't understand how a people who claim to worship life would destroy a pristine planet, he replied.
So you've said once already. But since you said it, I've been thinking about it. You may be right. There may be a contradiction there.
May?
Corin studied the Yuuzhan Vong's face for signs of mockery. The near-human visage suddenly seemed more alien than ever. Understand, Harar said. All life ends. Killing is in itself no wrongdoing. Even here in this forest, plants are eaten by animals. Animals devour one another. The dead form the food for the plants. My earlier concern for the saplings you cut was that the planet might take it as an attack, since we are from outside, not because I felt it was wrong on some intrinsic level for you to cut them. In the end, every living thing dies. Planets die. But life itself should go on. Your technology threatens that. Ours does not. A world like Coruscant proves that a world could exist without forests or true seas. And if the living sentience in its belly were replaced by the machines that mock life you call droids, there could be completion. Machines could spread without benefit of life. They could replace it. That my people cannot, would never allow. We would fight until all of us were dead to prevent it, even the shamed who now rise against us.
But,
Harar raised a hand, please allow me to finish answering your question. When we destroy life, even an entire planet, as with Ithor, we replace it with new life.
Yuuzhan Vong bioformed life?
Yes, of course.
So you think that makes it okay? Corin asked.
Yes,
the priest answered. Corin shrugged. So if that's your view, where is the contradiction?
Because in my heart, Harar said, pronouncing each word carefully and distinctly, I feel the destruction of Ithor was wrong.
Corin regarded the priest for a long moment, wishing the Force could help him decide if he was lying or not.
Of course, before he'd learned to know the Force, natural suspicion and Corsac training had served pretty well. To those ears, Harar sounded sincere.
What do you want from me? Corin asked, finally.
Harar steepled his fingers together. I've spoken of the contradiction in my people. I want to understand the contradiction in yours.
Oh, that's simple. We're not really one people. There are thousands of peoples in this galaxy, and often we don't have a whole lot in common. If there's one thing you can say about us, it's that we're a diverse lot. There are some cultures that probably would have made Ithor like Coruscant, or a wasteland like Bonadin. There are beings in this galaxy who don't value life at all, and others who worship it to the exclusion of all else. Most of us fall somewhere in between. Believe it or not, technology and life really can coexist.
That is what I'm struggling with. You believe that. My people do not. Whatever Zonama Seacoat represents, whatever promise it holds for my people, I do not know that it can ever bring peace between you and me. I do not think the Yuuzhan Vong could ever make peace with machines, especially thinking ones, or the people who use them.
That's an interesting thing to tell me, Corin said. You mean that you and I may have to fight after all?
Not you and I. Not unless it is by your choice. But our peoples, Harar shook his head, I see no end to the war here.
Well, we've only just arrived, Corin said. Maybe there's something neither of us is seeing.
Perhaps.
They sat in silence for a moment, Corin slipping into reverie of the battle for Ithor
and the terrible thing that the Yuuzhan Vong had done to the Garden of the Galaxy. What if Harar was right? What if there was no way to make peace with the Yuuzhan Vong? He sighed, rose, and looked around the edge of the cave until he saw what he was looking for, a slope that kept going up. "Where are you going?" Harar asked.
"I want to check out what's up above our happy home to be," Corin said. "Don't want any nasty monsters or giant bugs coming down to eat us in the night."
"You've more experience with wild planets than I."
"Doesn't seem too wild to me, this planet,"
Corin said, not entirely certain what he meant. "Well, natural planets, then. Non-bioformed worlds."
"I think this world is bioformed," Corin replied. "I think it bioformed itself."
"Then you believe the planet itself is alive, sentient, as Yuusha claims?"
"That's the rumor. That's what your shaper is here to find out, right?"
"Among other things. I'm not entirely certain I understand Nen Yim's interests."
Three different castes, three different agendas, Corin thought.
They reached the top of the ridge in a few moments, which gave them an excellent view of the valley below. In fact, Corin could see the wrecked Seacoten ship, which was good. If anyone came looking from the air, that's what they would spot, and they would be near should such a search come. But not too near if the searchers were unfriendly. "What is that?" Harar asked. Corin turned and looked the other way. The priest wasn't pointing. He didn't have to. Rising from the forest were three gigantic, identical metal veins. They looked to be at least 300 meters tall. They were utterly familiar, but it still took him a long moment to recognize them. When he did, he felt suddenly lightheaded.
"I'm not sure," he lied.
"Perhaps we should investigate." Did Harar sound suspicious?
"Not today," Corin said. "It'll be dark in a few hours, and we'll want to have the important stuff moved up here by then."
"Very well." He was just delaying the inevitable, he knew. But given Harar's little speech just now, when the Yuuzhan Vong did figure out what those veins were, they weren't going to be very happy. Not happy at all. He wanted a little time to prepare for that.